أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون.
تعوذ من سورة الفاتحة. حضرت خليفة المسيح the fifth أيده الله تعالى بنصره العزيز recited verse 187 of Surah Al-Baqarah and stated, And when my servants ask thee about me, say, I am near. I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me. So they should hearken to me and believe in me, that they may follow the right way. Allah the Almighty has placed this verse among the verses of the commandments of fasting. In fact, one can say that He has placed it in the middle of these verses. And from this, it is evident that there is a special connection between prayers and the month of Ramadan. And every Muslim knows full well that there is a special connection between prayers and the month of Ramadan. And due to this very reason, a great deal of attention is paid, particularly during the month of Ramadan, towards obligatory prayers, voluntary prayers, the Tahajjud and Taraweeh prayers. And every true Muslim understands that during these days, God Almighty looks upon His servants with a particular love and affection. In fact, even during ordinary days, Allah the Almighty looks upon His servants with love. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, states that Allah the Almighty says that I treat my servant according to how he perceives me. When my servant remembers me, I am with him at that moment. If he remembers me in his heart, I remember him in my heart. And if he mentions me in a gathering, then I will also mention him in a gathering. And when he advances towards me the distance of a cubit, then I draw near him by a hand's length. And if he advances towards me a hand's length, then I advance towards him the distance of two hand lengths. And if one walks towards me, then I run towards him. Hence, even during ordinary days, i.e. outside of the month of Ramadan, Allah the Almighty treats His servants in this manner. But during the month of Ramadan, a month devoted for advancing towards Allah the Almighty, and during which an atmosphere is created which encourages one to remember Allah the Almighty, then we cannot even imagine how benevolent Allah the Almighty would be in this month. Nevertheless, the condition is that all of this must be done from the depth of one's heart, and while remaining firm upon one's faith, and not just done superficially. Then, whilst giving an example of the benevolence and love of Allah the Almighty towards His servants, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated on one occasion that verily, Allah the Almighty is modest and generous. He is ashamed to turn down His servant empty-handed when he raises his hands to Him in supplication. Allah the Almighty does not reject a prayer that is offered with true sincerity of heart. In fact, He accepts such a prayer. Therefore, this state is developed when a person prays and raises his hands with true sincerity of their heart. And in order to pray with true sincerity of the heart, it is necessary to make an oath to completely abstain from previous sins, and also to offer true repentance and then draw close to Allah the Almighty. Thus, at times we are quick to say that we prayed, but our prayer was not answered. However, we fail to reflect upon our own conditions as to how sincere we were in our heart and how truthfully we are advancing in the love of Allah the Almighty. And also, how truthfully we are seeking forgiveness for our previous sins and at the same time pledging to abstain from future sins and to tread on the paths laid out by Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty cannot be deceived, for He knows what is in our hearts and He is aware of what is in the depths of our hearts. Therefore, in order to absorb the blessings of Allah the Almighty and in order to enter His open abode, it is important that we fulfill His conditions as well. The benevolence and kindness of Allah the Almighty towards His servants is so great that every year Allah the Almighty allows us to enter the month of Ramadan, and He particularly grants us the opportunity by saying that if you have been neglectful during the ordinary days, then derive benefit from the blessings of this month and come towards me and become one of my servants. And particularly during these days, Allah the Almighty wants to bestow His loving gaze upon His servants and guide those who have gone astray on the right path and elevate His servants' standards of worship due to this particular atmosphere that has been created. And in this verse, where Allah the Almighty has stated that my servants, it refers to those individuals who truly desire to become His servants and desire to truly repent, and they actually do so. Therefore, we must always strive to become a true servant. And during the month of Ramadan, there is a special atmosphere to attain His nearness and to become a true servant. However, we can only become Allah the Almighty's true servants if we strive to progress in our love for Him. And when this happens, then Allah the Almighty states, that say to my servants who love me, that I listen to their prayers and I answer them. Therefore, our prayers should not only be for our personal benefit. In fact, our prayers should be to attain the nearness of Allah the Almighty and also to acquire His love. If we move even a hand's breadth towards God in order to attain His love, and if we walk towards Him swiftly, then in turn, Allah the Almighty will grant us even greater attention and will run to us in His support. Allah the Almighty will answer our prayers. However, He has clearly stated that mere verbal claims of love will not grant you this station. In fact, you will have to follow His instructions and act upon His commandments and fulfill the rights due to God and the rights due to his creation. And with this, one will also have to strengthen their faith, such a faith that will never waver. And only when this is the case will you be counted amongst his true servants. Now those who claim that they have offered so many prayers and performed so many prostrations and offered so many voluntary prayers, and yet their objective was not fulfilled, they must analyze themselves to see if they have truly acted upon the commandments of Allah the Almighty. And have they raised the standard of their faith to the level where no storm can shake them? And the majority of the time, the state of these people is that instead of fulfilling the will of their beloved, instead they present lists of their own requirements and claim that there is no benefit of praying if Allah the Almighty does not accept these supplications of theirs. Moreover, they then begin to question the very existence of God and also the wisdom behind prayer and its acceptance altogether. These are not the hallmarks of the true servants of Allah, nor the characteristics of those whom Allah the Almighty does not wish to leave empty-handed. Therefore, before questioning the existence of God, one must analyze themselves as to what extent they are following the commandments of Allah the Almighty and to what extent are they acting upon them, and also to what extent they are strengthening their faith. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has written in relation to this in many of his books. And he has written in great detail regarding the wisdom behind prayer and the wisdom and philosophy behind the acceptance of prayer. And he has also described those criteria by which a prayer can be considered a true prayer. In light of this, I shall present some quotes of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, as to who the true servants of Allah the Almighty are. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, Allah the Almighty states that when my servants ask about me and what the proofs are for my existence, the answer is that I am very near. In other words, there is no need for great proofs. In fact, my existence can be understood very closely and my existence can be proven very easily. And the evidence of this is that when a supplicant calls unto me, I hear the prayer and give them glad tidings of their success by way of revelation, so that not only is my existence proven to them, but they also acquire certainty of my being all-powerful. However, people should develop such a state of righteousness and fear of God so that I may listen to their calls. Now this is a very important condition. Allah the Almighty says that I listen, but first one must develop a state of righteousness and fear of God. Only then will I hear their calls. Hence, you must believe in me, and before you acquire perfect understanding, declare that God exists and possesses all might and power. That is to say, even before one attains perfect understanding of Allah the Almighty through the acceptance of prayer and witnessing His signs, they must have the conviction and faith that God Almighty indeed exists. One ought to strengthen their faith in God first, and they should have faith in the unseen and have belief that Allah the Almighty possesses all power. For one who believes is then granted cognition. Therefore, first one must possess faith, then they are granted true cognition, or a true understanding of Allah the Almighty. When one possesses a high level of faith, they will then begin to witness the acceptance of their prayers as well. It is not the case that a person becomes weak in the face of trial. Allah the Almighty has given the proof of His existence that He answers prayers. Therefore, if a prayer is not accepted, then there is a shortcoming in this relation, just as there are shortcomings between the relations of two friends. And Allah the Almighty has also taught us the method to remove this shortcoming, and that is to develop righteousness, i.e. taqwa, and have full conviction and declare that God indeed exists, and also to believe in His existence and in the unseen. And the third is to have full conviction that Allah the Almighty possesses all might and power, and that there is no other being who possesses all power. Therefore, this is the minimum standard for the acceptance of prayer. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, then states, the God Almighty states that if a servant of mine questions my existence, and that what evidence there is of my being, and why one should believe there is God, the answer is that I am very near, and I answer the prayers of the supplicant. When they call unto me, I listen to them and converse with them. Thus, one should mold themselves in order to be able to converse with Allah the Almighty. In other words, one should reform themselves to be able to converse with God, and they should have perfect faith in God in order to find His path. It is only then that they shall find the path to guidance. Therefore, one must possess perfect faith first and act upon the conditions which I have just mentioned. That is, first and foremost, to develop righteousness and have fear of God. Secondly, to have complete faith that indeed Allah the Almighty exists. And whether one has experience or not, they should believe in the unseen and have perfect belief that God exists. And thirdly, to have full conviction that He possesses complete power and might. It should not be the case that if something doesn't happen, one says that he does not possess the power to do so and starts to doubt Him. Instead, one should have the conviction that He possesses complete power and might. Hence, those who despair of the acceptance of prayers and doubt the existence of God Almighty must analyze themselves, and they must determine whether or not they possess these three conditions, and are they firmly established upon them regardless of the circumstances. It is not possible for one to possess this standard of faith and then to doubt Allah the Almighty's existence at the same time. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then states in another instance, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That is, when my servants ask thee about me, say I am near. This means that if one questions the existence of God, the answer is that the God of Islam is very near. If one calls unto Him sincerely, then He will answer them. The gods of other religions are not near, i.e. the gods of other faiths, but are so far off that it is impossible to know them. The loftiest objective of a worshipper and devotee is to attain nearness to God, and this is the means of doing so. In other words, the highest purpose of a true worshipper should be to attain nearness to Allah the Almighty and to develop a love for Him in their hearts, through which they can acquire full faith in His being. Allah the Almighty then states, Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an, that I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me, also means that he answers and is not mute. All other proofs are insignificant compared to this. Divine converse is something that can be considered as actually witnessing Him. Therefore, it is necessary for one to call out in sincerity. And what is it to call out with sincerity? It is to follow His commands and to have firm faith in Him. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam then states, the God Almighty states, when my servant asks about me, I am near, and answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me. However, there are some people who doubt His existence. But He says that the sign of my existence is that you should call unto me and ask of me, and I shall speak to you and answer you and remember you. As it is mentioned in a hadith, that Allah the Almighty states that He remembers one when they remember Him, whether in one's heart or in a gathering. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, continues that if you claim that you supplicate but He does not answer, this question has been raised and it has been mentioned already, then it is as if you are standing at a place calling to someone who is very far away and you have a defect in your own hearing. Thus, The first point is that there is no benefit in standing far away. One ought to come closer, and nearness will be attained through love. Therefore, create love for Allah the Almighty in your heart. And there is a defect in your ears, and weakness of faith is as if one has defects in their ears. Therefore, remove this weakness of faith and strengthen your faith. Then you will attain his nearness. The person will hear your voice and respond. The Promised Messiah ﷺ gives the example that you may be calling them from afar, but if your voice is subdued when it reaches him, or even if it's clear, they will answer you. But when he answers you from afar, you will not be able to hear it since you are deaf. In other words, even if Allah the Almighty answers your call, since you are not strong in your faith, and there is deficiency in your love, and you are not acting upon his commandments, then this deafness is because of your ears, due to which you cannot hear their voice. Now, even if Allah the Almighty answers, then you will say that he did not answer, even though he did answer. But he is saying that improve your own condition if you wish to hear a louder voice, but you cannot even hear it due to your own deafness. The Promised Messiah ﷺ further states that as the veils, barriers, and the distance between you and him lessens, then you will surely hear the voice of God. If you increase in righteousness, i.e. taqwa, then you will increasingly pay attention towards listening to the voice. The Promised Messiah ﷺ further states that ever since the world has been created, there has been constant proof that he converses with his special chosen ones. And if this was not the case, then gradually even the concept of his existence would be destroyed. Thus, the most excellent way to prove the existence of God is this, that we hear his voice either by sight or by divine converse. Meaning sometimes Allah the Almighty shows a sign, and at times he only speaks. Thus today the ability to converse with God is as if one is seeing God. Nowadays, the signs that one receives from Allah the Almighty are in fact as if one is seeing Allah the Almighty. Indeed, as long as there are any veils between God and the seeker, one cannot hear him. Even if there is converse with Allah, they cannot hear him because there is a veil between them. And when the veil between them is lifted, then his voice will be heard. Thus, come nearer, and if you develop a pure love for him, then you will attain his nearness, and the veil will be lifted. Allah the Almighty says that I answer, but it is you who cannot hear it. And the very first response is in fact to increase in one's love. If you increase in your love for God, then your ability to not hear him will also go away. Then the Promised Messiah ﷺ says in one place that prayer is a powerful proof of the existence of God Almighty. Thus, God Almighty says in one place, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Meaning that when my servant asks you as to where God is and what proof there is of him, then say that he is very near to you. And the proof of this is that when a supplicant calls out to me, then I answer them. And this answer sometimes comes through true dreams, i.e. true dreams come to them whereby they receive an answer, and at times through visions or revelations. And aside from this, the power and might of God Almighty is manifested through prayers. Besides this, the power and might of God Almighty is displayed through the acceptance of prayers. You find out by yourself that Allah the Almighty has heard our voice, and that he has heard our prayers, and it is as a result of these things that such circumstances are being created. The Promised Messiah further states, and one learns how powerful he is only when he solves one's problems. Thus prayer is a great treasure and power, and the Holy Quran has repeatedly guided us towards it, and has also told us the condition of those people who have gained freedom from their difficulties through prayer. The essence of the life of the prophets, may peace be upon them, and the real and true path to their success was indeed prayer. The Promised Messiah ﷺ further says, thus I advise you that in order to increase the strength in your faith and deeds, keep yourselves occupied in prayer. There will be such a transformation through prayer which will lead to a righteous end by the grace of God. These are just not old tales. In fact, even in today's day and age, such examples are found. There are many people who write about the acceptance of their prayers, and I narrate these incidents at different times as well. The Review of Religions held a program on the existence of God, And many people narrated their incidents of the acceptance of prayer there as well. In fact, Allah the Almighty blesses us so much so that at times, in order to strengthen our faith, Allah the Almighty grants acceptance to our prayers and thereby shows us a glimpse of His power. In other words, those whose faith is weak, Allah the Almighty even at times shows them as well such signs in order to strengthen them in their faith. And there are hundreds of people like this who write letters to me, and some meet me and narrate them as well. Then explaining the true understanding of the concept of prayer, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, true knowledge of the divine, in short, can only be attained through divine grace, and through it alone can it survive. Divine grace purifies and illuminates knowledge of the divine and removes the intervening veils and cleanses the nafs-e amara, i.e. the self that incites to evil, of all its impurities. It bestows strength and life upon the soul and releases the baser self from the prison of sin, meaning nafs-e amara, which is the state that incites one towards evil. The true knowledge of the divine removes one from the prison of their own self and purges it of its evil passions. And also, this grace salvages one from the flood of carnal passions. The manner in which a flood comes, in the same way carnal passions are a flood, and this true knowledge of the divine removes one from the flood of sin. It is then that a transformation takes place in a person, and he develops a natural aversion for sin. Thereafter, the very first urge felt by the soul through God's grace is called prayer. Do not think that we already pray every day, and that the salat we offer is also prayer. For the prayer which follows after acquiring true knowledge of the divine and is born of divine grace is altogether different. These outwardly prayers that we offer, which we come and quickly offer and after 5 minutes we're done praying, this is not the daily prayers. This is not worship. For this, one requires true knowledge of the divine, and when such knowledge is attained, then the enjoyment of prayer is completely different, and the enjoyment of that prayer is altogether different. The promised Messiah states, its grace is of an altogether different color and complexion. Such prayer is a thing that consumes, it is a fire that melts, it is a magnetic force that draws divine mercy, it is a death but ultimately gives life, it is a raging flood but finally turns into a boat. It is a flood, but the flood becomes a boat and takes one to their desired destination. And through it, every wrong is redressed and every poison finally becomes an antidote. Therefore, blessed are those of us who try to attain this true knowledge of the divine. Furthermore, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, prayer comes from God and returns to Him. And through prayer, God draws as close to a person as one's own soul. The very first blessing of prayer is that a pure transformation is brought about in an individual. Many people question that how would one know that if their prayer is accepted and that Allah the Almighty is pleased with someone? And this is a reply to them, that one brings about a pure transformation within themselves, and a person's relationship with Allah the Almighty only increases when they bring about a pure transformation. When a person brings about a virtuous transformation within themselves, then one will see the sign of the acceptance of prayers. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further says, a person instills within them a pure transformation. Then through this change, Allah the Almighty manifests a change in His attributes. Although God Almighty's attributes are unchangeable, however, for the one that brings about a spiritual transformation within them, they become manifested for that individual in a distinctive manner to which the world is completely heedless. It is not the case that God Almighty's attributes change. However, for a person who brings about transformation, Allah the Almighty creates the means in a way which makes it seem that an attribute of Allah has been changed, even though the attribute of God remains the same. But in fact, its manifestation begins in their favor. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, it seems as if there is a different God, whereas in reality there is no other God, but He manifests Himself in a different light. Then for the person who brings about this transformation, this special manifestation will become activated and assist them in a way that it will not assist others. And this is known as a miracle. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then states in another place, there is only one door that Allah the Glorious has opened for the betterment of His creation, and that door is prayer. When a person enters this door through profusely and fervently weeping before God, then in turn the benevolent Lord wraps them in a cloak of purity and virtue. And the grandeur and might of God overawes that individual to such an extent that they run miles away from all unlawful and worthless activities. They distance themselves greatly from them. And thus the characteristic of a true prayer is one in which an individual becomes distant from all vain and futile activities. And virtue becomes embedded as part of their nature. Such an individual does not pray only for worldly pursuits, but they begin to pray for them to progress in their faith and righteousness, i.e. taqwa, and they start to pray in order to acquire the love of Allah the Almighty. And this in turn is the sign of a true believer. And this indeed is a sign of a person who has perfected their faith and one who seeks to excel. Then expanding upon the deep philosophy of prayer, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, the quickest way to attain the grace and bounty of Allah is prayer. And the prerequisites of a perfect and complete prayer is that it must contain a fervor and humble plea. A prayer which is filled with humility, anguish, and in a state of distress is one which can draw the grace of God Almighty. That is, for a person to reach the pinnacle of humility whereby they weep in their prayers. And when such a prayer is accepted, it propels one to their ultimate goal. But the difficulty is that even this cannot be achieved without the grace of God. Therefore, for a person to even reach such a stage, one has to seek the grace of God. And so, the solution is that for the person to pray continuously, irrespective of how dissatisfied or disinterested one may be, but they should not stop, even if it means one has to carry it out pretentiously or artificially. Even for the sake of offering a prayer in its truest form, one requires the help of prayer. One should constantly supplicate and not leave Allah's side until one develops that state. And it is only then that the blessings of God begin to descend. Many people offer prayers, but their hearts become discontented, i.e. they pray for a short while and then abandon it. And they say that nothing can be done now. However, my advice to them is that there is blessings in this dust. It may seem like a person is sieving out earth, but there is blessings in sieving through the earth. Eventually, there will be blessings in this because one's ultimate objective becomes evident. And a time comes whereby one's heart aligns with one's tongue. In other words, the objective is eventually achieved for that person. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, when one's heart and tongue become one, then spontaneously one develops the humility and fervor that is one of the prerequisites of prayer. That is, whatever one says is a real condition of their heart as well. And when they become one, then those conditions are developed that are necessary for prayer. When a person awakens at night, despite there being a lack of fervor and restlessness, yet even in this condition, if they pray, saying that, my Lord, my heart is under your control and power, purify my heart. And when it is in a state of spiritual contraction, may Allah Almighty make it turn into a state of spiritual expansion. In other words, to pray that the heart is despondent and desires relief, and may it incline towards Allah the Almighty, and may He instill a desire within it. And may the love of Allah flourish in a way that the condition of spiritual contraction is turned into spiritual expansion. Then, despite the heart being closed, it is opened up and one develops fervency. And what does it mean for the heart to open? It means when one develops fervency in prayer, and a person will be able to weep in prayer. And this is the time for the acceptance of prayer. When a person develops such a condition, then know it well that this will be the time for the acceptance of prayer, and one will realize that this is the moment that the soul will flow at the divine threshold like water, but it will be like a drop which descends from above. When this state is developed, then a person will themselves realize that it is a time for the acceptance of prayer. It is at this stage when a person becomes convinced that now whatever Allah the Almighty will do for them, it will be for the best for that individual. It will not be the case whereby a person desires for all that to be fulfilled that they desire. Rather, they will be convinced that after developing fervency and anguish, one will become content in that having prayed in this manner, whatever Allah does for that individual's sake will be the best for that person. And this is how one's faith will develop, and no grievance will remain in the heart. Hence, this is the condition we must develop within us, and for this we ought to analyze ourselves. Further elaborating on this, on one occasion the Promised Messiah stated, a prayer is something that provides ease in every hardship. If one prays, even the most difficult task can become easy. People are unaware of the value and worth of prayer. The Promised Messiah says, the people who are unaware of the value and worth of prayer become dejected easily and lose hope, whereas perseverance and continuous effort is a necessity for prayer. If a person strives continuously, then let alone a single moral ill, Allah the Almighty removes thousands of ills from a person and makes them into a perfect believer. However, sincerity and a constant struggle is a condition in order to achieve this. But this can only be achieved through prayer. One requires sincerity, a constant struggle, and effort. And this is the condition required to instill within ourselves. For this, we need to analyze our hearts, whether we have developed the condition of sincerity and striving, or are we trying to achieve this. In fact, the very meaning of mujahida means a constant struggle and effort without getting tired. For our worldly affairs, we make concerted efforts and do not get tired. Then why should we get tired when we search for God's nearness? And explaining the philosophy behind this, the Promised Messiah says, man should strive to escape from this worldly existence, deeming it to be something vile, and should pray for it. This is because when a person uses the correct course of action and then prays sincerely for it, eventually Allah the Almighty grants that person salvation. They are then saved from a life of sin. And this is because prayer is not an insignificant thing. In fact, it is a form of death. When a person accepts this death upon themselves, then Allah the Almighty saves that individual from an immoral life, which in turn leads one to death. In turn, Allah grants that person the ability to lead a pure and virtuous life. Thus, an immoral life is also akin to death. When a person will be punished in the hereafter, or at times receives punishment in this life, then Allah saves a person from this. He further states, many people see prayer as an insignificant thing. It should be remembered that prayer does not mean for someone to merely offer salat, raise hands to pray, and then to sit down and to recite whatever comes to mind. There is no use of such a prayer, because this prayer is nothing more than a simple mantra. Just like some religions recite mantras, this is nothing more than a mere mantra. Neither does one's heart partake of this prayer, nor does one have faith in the power and might of Allah. This type of yearning is not something that emanates from the depths of the heart, and nor does one express the fact that Allah the Almighty has the power over everything. Remember, prayer is a form of death. Just as a person feels anguish and is restless at the time of their demise, the same anguish and passion is required for prayer. For this reason, until anguish and fervency overcomes a person, it is not deemed to be a prayer. Thus, one ought to wake up in the night and humbly present one's difficulties before God Almighty in a state of utmost fervency, fervor, and anguish. And one should supplicate in such a manner as if they have been overcome by death. It is then that one's supplications reach the level of acceptance. The Promised Messiah continues, that bear in mind that the first and foremost prayer is for one to pray to become free and pure of sin. This is extremely important. The first and foremost, one should pray to become free and pure of sin. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that this prayer forms the foundation and very essence of prayer. It is the root of all prayers. For if this prayer is accepted, then one becomes pure from all kinds of impurities and foulness and will be counted as a holy individual in the sight of God Almighty. This is also a very important matter. It should not be the case that one simply considers themselves to be holy. One should continue to supplicate until they feel a sense of contentment that God Almighty has purified them and they become counted as among the pure ones in His sight. This means that the thought of committing a sin should not enter one's mind. In such a case, one does not even need to offer the prayers for the other essential needs, as God Almighty accepts them Himself. When one attains such a state, then God Almighty fulfills the rights of the bond of friendship and fulfills the needs of His servant. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, the prayer to become free from sin is one that requires a great deal of effort and struggle. To become free of sin is not an ordinary prayer, rather it is a prayer of great importance. And it enables one to become righteous and virtuous in the sight of God Almighty. One should become righteous and virtuous in the sight of God Almighty, and not just in their own estimation or in the eyes of people. The initial veils upon the heart have to be removed, and once they have been removed, then all other veils upon the heart will not require as much effort and toil for those to be removed, because through the grace of God Almighty, thousands of weaknesses will themselves be removed. When one develops inner purity and forms a true bond with Allah the Almighty, then God Almighty Himself becomes one's guardian and protector. In such an instance, even before one presents their needs before Allah the Almighty, He fulfills it Himself, even if it is a worldly need. This is a very intricate matter, which is only revealed to an individual who attains this state. Prior to this, it is very difficult for one to understand this. However, this requires for one to strive in an extraordinary manner, because prayer also requires one to strive. One who is careless in the matter of prayer and remains distant from it, then Allah the Almighty also does not show any concern for such a person. Being haste is of no benefit, and God Almighty can grant whatever He wills and whenever He wills. One should always keep this in mind, that God Almighty can grant whatever He wants and whenever He wants. And it does not behove a seeker to complain over not being granted something immediately and to begin ill-thinking. In fact, he ought to continue praying with steadfastness and patience. Thus, one of the conditions for prayer is steadfastness, and one of the most important prayers is to pray for one to become purified, such purity whereby one is counted amongst the pure ones in the sight of God Almighty. Then what should one's condition be for the acceptance of prayer? In relation to this, the Promised Messiah states, a prayer reaches the level of acceptance when one supplicates with utmost fervency. When one prays with an extreme level of fervency, it is then that the signs of his acceptance by Allah the Almighty and the means for its fulfillment emerge. The initial means are first established in the heavens, and then its impacts manifest upon the earth. This is not a small matter. Allah the Almighty accepts the prayer and then issues a command, and thereafter its effects begin to manifest upon the earth. This is not a small matter. Rather, it is an extraordinary truth. In fact, the truth is that whoever seeks to witness the manifestation of God, he ought to pray. Some people ask the question that if Allah the Almighty has already decreed something, then it will certainly happen, and it is in His divine knowledge that it will occur. Then what is the point of praying? Such questions arise. And whilst explaining the need of prayer, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that if the acceptance of prayer was in one's own hand, then one could do as they willed. That is why we cannot say that such and such matter will be fulfilled in favor of such and such friend or relative. Some people ask for prayers for something, but it is not the case that it will certainly be fulfilled in that manner. This is not in our hands. It is in fact the will of Allah the Almighty. It is up to Allah the Almighty how He wishes to fulfill it. At times, despite a pressing need, one is not able to pray for it. At times, a person is requested for prayers and there is a dire need for it as well. However, the conditions within the heart is not developed for it and becomes hardened. This is because people are unaware of its intricacies and hence go astray. And they claim that since the condition for the prayer was not developed, therefore there is no point in praying. And they begin to harbor doubts and consider this to be their destiny. They feel there is no need for prayer or to make any effort, as whatever has been destined will take place. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that the answer to this is that indeed God has knowledge of all things. However, that does not mean that God Almighty does not possess the power over it any longer, and that it will most certainly happen in that way. For something to be in His knowledge does not mean that it is now beyond the power of Allah the Almighty, and it will now only unfold in that particular way. To explain this, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has given an example of a worldly matter with regards to those people who have the belief that whatever is destined will happen and that their efforts are pointless. For example, he says that why do people look for a treatment if they are experiencing a headache? Because after all, it should get better by itself. Or if it is destined to happen, then it will certainly happen. What is the point of taking medication? Or why do they drink water when they are thirsty? There are some people who do not drink water and their thirst eventually goes away by itself. Yet, they drink water immediately. However, it is not the case for all. There are some people who can also die of thirst. Therefore, the reason they drink cold water is to quench their thirst. The fact is that one's reluctance will show its consequences. And when one makes an effort and strives and prays, then that also shows its impact. Therefore, it is not necessary that something which is in the knowledge of Allah the Almighty will most certainly happen in that way, and that he cannot change his decree through prayers. For example, if the doctors say that someone is about to die, however, owing to prayers, he is granted a further 9, 4, or 10 years of life, then it is Allah the Almighty who changed that person's destiny. Of course, everyone is going to die, but Allah the Almighty can extend one's life and grant them a good health. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that prayer is an excellent thing. At the very least, it grants one forgiveness. Even if one's objective is not achieved through prayer, even then Allah the Almighty takes consideration of the prayer, and whether in this world or in the hereafter, that prayer becomes a means for one's forgiveness, and it creates ease for him. And then, gradually through this, God Almighty bestows His benevolence towards such a person. And if one begins to receive the rewards of forgiveness in this life, then they are able to witness the benevolent favors of God Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states that firstly, by not praying, one's heart begins to rust, and then the heart becomes to harden, and they begin to question the need of prayer, and then they eventually become distant from it. Then one also becomes distant from Allah the Almighty, and they develop a sense of estrangement from God, and then harbors enmity towards Him. And the result of this is that then one loses their faith completely in God. Thus, these are the various states which one can develop if they do not pray. That is, initially one's heart becomes rusty, then their heart becomes hardened, and then they become an atheist. One grows in enmity and hatred towards God, and similar thoughts develop, and then one completely loses their faith and becomes an atheist. Thus, one ought to certainly come towards prayer. And if one loses their faith, then one's life in this world and the next is ruined. Then, whilst explaining the kind of prayer which is a distinction of Islam, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states that prayer is a special distinction of Islam, and Muslims feel very proud about it. But remember that prayer is not the mere utterance of words. Rather, this is something which causes the heart to become filled with the fear of God, and the supplicant's soul flows like water upon the divine threshold, seeking strength, power, and forgiveness from the mighty and powerful God for its weaknesses and mistakes. In other words, this state can be called death. When this condition comes about, then know for certain that the door to acceptance has been opened, i.e. the door for the acceptance of prayer is opened, and a special ability, blessings, and steadfastness are bestowed in order to remain safe from evil deeds and to consistently establish virtuous deeds. This is the best method above all others. However, the great difficulty lies in people being unaware about the true reality of prayer. And this is the very reason why people in this era deny it, because they do not see its results. And another reason for them denying this is them saying that whatever happens is meant to happen. Again, this is the same topic of predestination. And they say, so then what is the need for prayer? However, I know that this is nothing but an excuse because they have not experienced prayer. They are unaware of its intricacies, which is why people say such things. Otherwise, if they are so confident, then why is it that they take treatment upon falling ill? When other things can have an effect, then what reason could there be for the spiritual world not to have its effects as well? In other words, should the spiritual aspects also not have their effects, of which prayer is a magnificent thing? Hence, prayers do have an impact, but the prayers of those who act according to the commandments of God, who fulfill the rights of Allah and the rights of His creation, and they do so with great steadfastness. They do what Allah the Almighty has enjoined upon them, and they abstain from that which He has forbidden. Furthermore, there is not the slightest weakness in their faith. Rather, they continually increase in faith. It is then that this state is developed. Then, with regards to continually praying with steadfastness, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that one should not offer prayers half-heartedly or in dismay, nor should one easily tire. Instead, one should not give up until their prayer does not manifest its full effect. Those who tire and become weary are in error, because this is an indication of remaining deprived. In my estimation, prayer is an excellent thing, and I say from my own experience that it is not mere conjecture that if a difficulty that cannot be resolved through planning, then Allah the Almighty resolves it through prayer. I say truthfully that prayer has a magnificent effect. Through it, illnesses can be cured, the strains and difficulties of this world can be removed, and it protects against the ploys of the enemy. And what else is there that cannot be achieved through prayer? Above all, it purifies man. And this should be a person's ultimate goal of a believer and of a true servant of Allah the Almighty. It grants living faith in God Almighty, and it offers deliverance from sin, and it furnishes consistency in virtue. Extremely fortunate is he who has faith in prayer, for he witnesses the astonishing might and power of Allah the Almighty and believes in God Almighty upon seeing him, for he is the all-powerful and the gracious. Then in response to those who complain because their prayers are not accepted, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, there are many people who accuse Allah the Almighty and consider themselves blameless by saying that we offered salat and prayed but they were not accepted. However, this is their own fault. Salat and prayers cannot attain acceptance until they are free from carelessness. If one eats something that is apparently sweet but has been laced with poison, then the poison won't be distinguishable from the sweetness. However, before the sweetness is experienced, the poison will take effect and do its job. In other words, it will kill the person. This is why prayers that are made carelessly cannot be accepted, because the carelessness takes effect first. It is impossible for one who is completely devoted to Allah the Almighty to not have their prayers accepted, albeit they must completely fulfill the necessary requirements. Therefore, one of the conditions set by Allah the Almighty is that one should adhere to what he says, hearken to it, and have firm faith in it. No matter what happens, one should not abandon Allah the Almighty's threshold. Allah the Almighty has created means, and it is also necessary to use them alongside offering prayers. In this regard, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, it is true that one who does not take practical actions does not offer prayers. Rather, they test God Almighty. Hence, before offering prayers, it is necessary for one to expend all their efforts. This is exactly what is meant by the prayer, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, that guide us to the right path. First, it is necessary for one to demonstrate their faith through their actions, because it is the practice of God Almighty to reform through means, i.e. certain means are provided for the sake of reformation. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that God creates such means which lead towards reformation. Those who wonder what the need for means is when there is prayer should ponder over this. Such foolish people should ponder upon the fact that prayer itself is a hidden means. Prayer is also a means which brings about other means. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then states, the true essence of Islam is that one's pleasure becomes subservient to the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. The reality is that a person cannot reach this stage of their own accord. It is man's obligation to make efforts. However, the true path to attaining this status is prayer. For man is weak, and until he attains strength and help through prayer, he cannot traverse this difficult path. Allah the Almighty himself has stated regarding the weakness of man, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, that is, man has been created weak. Therefore, despite this weakness, to claim through one's own power to have attained a lofty rank and a high station is their vain imagination. A great deal of prayers are required to achieve this. Prayer is a magnificent power through which great difficulties are resolved, and one is able to traverse perilous stages with great ease, because prayer is like a vessel which draws blessings and strength which comes from Allah the Almighty. One who remains extensively occupied in prayer will ultimately draw those blessings and will receive the help of Allah the Almighty, thereby achieving His purpose. God Almighty does not desire prayer alone. Rather, one must first undertake all efforts in striving alongside offering prayers. To disregard practical means and to rely simply on prayer is to be unaware of the etiquettes of prayer and to test God Almighty. To rely on apparent means and deem prayer to be of no significance is atheism. Certainly, you must understand that prayer is a great treasure, and one who does not abandon prayer will not endure ruin in this life or the next. Such a person will remain secure in a fortress surrounded by armed soldiers, always standing on guard. However, one who is heedless of prayer is like one who is without weapons and is weak, and then goes into a forest full of beasts and dangerous animals. He knows that he is not safe and that he can be attacked by a dangerous animal in an instant, making his bones and flesh disappear. So remember that man's true honor and his protection rely on prayer. This very prayer is a refuge for him so long as he remains occupied in it. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, God Almighty desires one to form a relationship with Him, and to offer prayers in His presence requires a connection with Him. Prayers cannot be offered without a connection. Elders of the past also used to advise supplicants to first establish a connection before praying. Someone cannot aimlessly walk in the market and go up to someone with whom they have no connection saying that you are my friend, nor does he have any pain for that person in his heart, and nor can the fervor for prayer be established. One cannot establish a connection with God Almighty by remaining careless and merely uttering words saying that I have established a connection with God Almighty. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that in order to establish a connection with God Almighty, it is necessary for one to be completely lost in Him. The Promised Messiah says we repeatedly enjoin our community to establish this because until the inclination towards this world and its love does not cool in the hearts, and a natural fervor and devotion for Allah the Almighty does not develop, then one cannot attain steadfastness. Hence, especially in these days during the month of the blessings which Allah the Almighty has provided us, we should focus on prayers whilst bringing about a pure change within ourselves. This is the only way for us to adorn our life in this world and the hereafter. The last 10 days of Ramadan are about to begin, during which we should strive to draw nearer to Allah the Almighty by making His commandments our guide and by strengthening our faith and by waking up at night and prostrating before Him so that we may obtain that guidance upon which Allah the Almighty wishes for us to tread upon. During the month of Ramadan, pray especially for the progress of the Jamaat and pray for those who have been imprisoned in the way of Allah, that may Allah swiftly procure the means of their release. And pray for those Ahmadis imprisoned in Yemen, in particular a woman who has cruelly been incarcerated in a small room, away from the other prisoners. However, she is enduring it with utmost patience and a resilient faith. May Allah the Almighty create the means for a swift release. And may Allah the Almighty remove the misconceptions and ill-thinking the opponents have regarding the Jamaat. Remember the Palestinians in your prayers as well. Ostensibly, they are claiming that there are great changes being implemented. However, the situation is becoming even worse. Despite the UN passing a resolution, the atrocities are continuing as they were. And the double standards of the Western powers has become evident from this. If a similar atrocity is committed against one of their ally nations, they immediately impose sanctions on the opposing side. Yet, there will be no sanctions imposed on Israel. On the contrary, USA recently approved unconditional aid for Israel worth billions of dollars. However, for the Palestinians, they approved aid worth a few million dollars, but at the same time, they placed a condition that they will not go to any court or any forum whereby they can speak out against Israel. So what can one hope from such people? There is only prayer and only Allah the Almighty who can protect the innocent from
Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'khfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِبْعَادَ اللَّهِ رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.